If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up to Psalms 133. Sometimes you get into subject matter and you don't quite see that you're where you're moving with it, and then you know you think you're just going to preach one message, and then God says, "Wait a minute, I got some more here that I want to give to the people." Last week we talked from the scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. You remember that? But do you remember what it also said? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God, the sons and daughters of God. So if you want to be called a son or daughter of God, you can't be, remember what we said, you can't be a peace taker or a peace faker. Remember? We got a lot of people in churches today that are peace takers and peace fakers. You can't come up to somebody and say that I love you, brother, if you don't respect them. Now, respect means that we may not agree. You know what? The Buffalo Bills are the best football team in the NFL. Now, I'm the preacher, so I can declare that, and you all have to get in alignment with it. You believe in forgiveness? Thank you. I'm just using a little illustration. You guys understand where I'm coming from. We can have a wide variety of disagreements on things, but when they begin to cause separation of relationship, you need to really consider what is going, you know, the devil is playing. He's messing. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters or the children of God. If you want the title of child, then you better be a peacemaker. If you don't want the title, then go ahead. You know what you also you will be called? You'll be called the son or daughter of somebody else. Amen? You're either one or the other. There's no neutral ground here. You're either one or the other. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. I want to go a little bit deeper today, though, and I want to look at a passage of Scripture that was very, very familiar with us, and I'm calling this message today the lost virtue, because it is something that we have lost. Virtue is a word that means excellence. So what this script, as we read this passage, I want you to understand what he's actually saying, is that we are losing our excellence. We're not called to mediocrity. God didn't say of the church, go out and be mediocre. He said, go out and be excellent. Is the gospel an excellent message or is it a mediocre message? It's excellence. The gospel's everything. Terry was just sharing with us about the blood of Jesus. You know what? The blood of Jesus is not mediocre. It is pure excellence. It is everything. And so when I talk to you today about a virtue that is lost, what I'm saying to you is that we have lost our excellence. And I believe this passage of Scripture that is so familiar to us, in it we can find some clues to how do we get our excellence back in the body of Christ. Now, I can't say this to you guys. I can't speak for all bodies in churches and the body of Christ in whole. It would be wonderful if we all followed this through. Obviously, it's not happening. But as for this house, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. How wonderful it is, Psalms 133, how pleasant for God's people to live together in what?
Harmony.
Harmony. Many of your versions use the word that I actually like a little bit better, unity. Tell somebody next to you, it's all about the unity. How wonderful and how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony or unity. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard down to the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. That is where the Lord has promised his blessing. That's key. Read that together. That is where the Lord has promised his blessing. Life that never ends. So, to be called a son or daughter, you have to be a peacemaker. Let's go a little bit deeper this week. to find the place that the Lord blesses, we've got to have unity. Where there is no unity, God will not bless. Unity, this is what David is speaking to us. Unity is the key to God's blessing. Unity in your home is the key to God's blessing. Unity in your family life is the key to God's blessing. There is something so powerful about this verse, and I've just been meditating on it over and over again. And I'm going to pray that God is going to help me in these few minutes that we have before we go and have our fellowship time to be able to share this with you, because this is something that Satan is always looking to stir things up. He is always looking to get into our situations and cause conflict. What he can divide, he can control. Whatever he can divide, he's in control. Husband and a wife get divided, guess what? He's controlling that house. You and your children are getting divided, guess what? He's controlling that house. You and your money are all in a mess, and he's in control. So how do we pull back on this? The key to it all is found in unity. The Psalms are very interesting. The Psalms were always written to give us a view of every situation and every section of your life. This one gives you an overview of everything that is important from the day you're born to the day you die. When you lose unity between you and God and you and your fellow brothers and faith, you find yourself in a position where God, and we're going to follow this verse, and we're going to believe what David is saying, you find yourself in a place that God cannot bless you. Unity means togetherness. Unity means that we're all in together. How many of you guys remember at the Tower of Babel? You know what they had? They had unity. And the Bible says this, that God was so concerned that out of their unity, they were going to accomplish the impossible. So he had to come down and separate the people by nationalities and language so they can no longer communicate. This is one of the reasons the devil wants to mess with unity in the church. Because when we have unity in the church, guess what? We can do impossible things. We can dream bigger. We can follow bigger visions. We can pursue things differently. When we have unity, we cover each other. When we have unity, we love each other. When we have unity, you step on my foot, I don't yell at you. I say, ow. And you know what you say? You say, I'm sorry. And you know what I say? I say, oh, don't worry about it. When we don't have unity, you step on my foot, I punch you. Even in the Godhead, we have unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three different, distinct personalities of one God. But there's unity. They all have a purpose. Jesus would say, no, I'm going into heaven. I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for you. You don't bring your petitions to me anymore. You go straight to God. He had fulfilled his purpose. Jesus is departing. He says, I'm going to send somebody back. It's going to be bigger and better than me. I'm sending the Comforter. They're all sitting up there in the upper room waiting for his reappearance. And guess what shows up? The Holy Spirit. Perfect unity. This particular psalm is described as a psalm of ascent. These were psalms that were meant to be spoken as people would ascend Mount Zion, as they would approach the house of the Lord. They would be sung, they would be spoken. So this is how important, how wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony and unity. They were singing this as they were on their way into church. Can you imagine that? I've been in some churches where that's not what they're singing on the way in the door. They're singing on the way in the door, I am here to critique the meeting. I'm here to see whether the pastor notices me. I'm here this morning because I want to make sure that somebody hears my solo and they appreciate my skill and my talent. And if they don't, I'm going to be very upset with them. I'm here to be noticed. I'm here to set Brother Johnny straight because you know what? He's really got on my nerves. That's not the song that God wants to be sung. There's a song that God wants us, as we're coming into the house of the Lord, that needs to be in our souls. And you know what that song is? Oh, God, I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. And, oh, God, I pray that you minister to me. But even more than that, Lord, I pray that you use me to be a blessing to someone else. I pray that, God, somewhere in the service today, just tell me, give that brother a hug. Give that sister a hug. Go pray for them. Tell them that you're so glad that they're here. I want to be a blessing. That's the song that needs to be being sung through our heart as we're walking into God's house. Amen. Not what can I get, but what can I give? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believeth on him should have everlasting life. The whole principle of the kingdom is about giving. Giving and unity are sisters. They go hand in hand. It is said by most theologians that this psalm that we have just read was written after the tribes had settled their differences under King David. Do you know that before King David, the tribes were at war? They were fighting each other tooth and nail. Brother against brother. Sister against sister. They couldn't get along. They were always mad at each other. They always had something going on. They had one tribe over here, same blood, different brother. They didn't like this one, they didn't like that one. And it took King David, the great king, to come together and say, you know what? We're brothers. Knock it off. We are called to live in unity. It's about our unity where we find our strength. What does it say? In our a nation divided cannot stand, right? God's people divided. We can't stand either. And so you know what we do? Well, we end up at our home having television church. Sitting there saying, well, TBN is now my church. I go to all these different churches now. And you know what? The devil's sitting there laughing and saying, yep, there goes another one. Tore that one away. Look around, teacher. Just look around. If you don't know this yet, you need each other. You need me. I need you. I couldn't do it if I didn't have a family of believers. I couldn't do it if I didn't know that there's certain people that I can pick up the phone and I can say, can you pray with me? I'm struggling. I'm really going through something tough. I couldn't do it if there weren't certain people in my life that just came up and they just had that sense. You okay? You good? No, I'm not. Let's go have coffee. Let's talk. Let's pray. Maybe we can't fix it, but you know what? Out of my unity, I'm going to let you know I'm here, that you matter, that I see you. David is reminding the readers of this psalm, as we are being reminded, that in unity is the only place that God commands blessing to come. It is found and only when God's people strive for unity. If you want the place of blessing, we have to be in unity. Just as if you want to be called a son or daughter of Christ, you have to be a peacemaker. These things go together, don't they? This scripture, though, we need to go just a little bit deeper because there's some things in this that I want to pull out. How wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in unity. It's the precious, here, let's follow this. It is the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard. I want to give you four little things to be thinking about. In this passage, we find these things. We find one, there's a reminding of why our unity is important, which we just covered. The second is there's a revealing of unity. Unity is not just something that we talk about. It's something that actually has visible evidence that it exists. Then we have to also understand that our unity is not something that is a stagnant force. It is something that at times needs to be renewed. Because can any of your families ever had squabbles? Any of your families kind of had like We don't want to have dinner together. You know, no, I will skip that birthday because I just do not like you right now. You're my brother, you're my sister, but I don't like you. Families have squabbles. We are a family, and sometimes we're not always going to get along, and we have to know that we're in that place that God can come and renew our unity. But unity also has a response. When this scripture is being spoken and David is writing it, the people and its readers understood what he was saying. Now, first of all, I have never had a beard. I just can't get past the itchy stage. My wife's always said, oh, I'd love for you to have a beard. I think you'd look... I said, I'm sexy enough then. But I can just imagine, Scott, it probably wouldn't feel really good if you took a bunch of oil and just poured it all over your beard and it just dripped down. This probably wouldn't feel very good. But the readers of this understood something. They understood that what David was talking about is he's talking about a moment when Aaron is anointed. And Aaron was anointed by Moses, and Moses is basically going through the whole tabernacle, and he's just putting oil on everything. Oil is very significant in Jewish culture. Oil is what was the most expensive ingredient in the foods that they would cook. The most expensive. So David is giving us an illustration that unity is the most expensive and most important ingredient to a church, to a group of believers. He is saying something. And listen, they also knew this. The oil cannot be made with shortcuts. You can't use this little ingredient over here. You know, sometimes when you cook and you don't have certain stuff, you go, well, I don't have butter, so what am I going to do? You know, there's something else I can use in its place. With oil, there's no shortcuts. It's either made right or you throw it out. So David is saying something to the readers, and they understand what he's saying. To the readers of the psalm, they knew that the oil meant the anointing. It meant the approval of God or to be chosen by him. So when he's saying this, he's saying the oil running down Aaron's beard. The readers of the psalm were knowing that, first of all, it was important. It was the most important thing that they could have. But it was also something that signified that God's approval was with them. Unity signifies that God's approval is with us. We take that unity out. You know what that says? God's not with you. That's how important it is. It's how important that we do whatever we have to do to keep unity in the church. The oil also would leave a smell that was very distinct. Again, the readers understand that David was saying that unity would leave a smell that God was with them and that they could actually receive from God. When you have unity, believe it or not, there is a smell on you. And that smell signifies that God is with you. This is what he's giving us the illustration. It would run down the beard. It would run into the garments. So that whenever that Aaron went, he carried the smell of the oil. He carried the smell of God with him. You know, it's been something, now that I'm approaching 50, I've been alive long enough that I've watched families, and I've watched families where the father of a certain family would grow, and, you know, you would notice this about him, that he was a very angry man, and, you know, very, you know, and then, he would have a son. And then I've seen enough time come that, you know what? The son approaches adulthood, and guess what kind of person he is? He's an angry person. He's an angry, bitter person. And why is that? What I believe is very easy for us to follow here is that the smell of the father is transferred to the child. So instead of the child being able to be something different, they just follow along. And they degeneration becomes another generation, another generation. And how many of you know, you just get tired of having generation of angry people after generation of angry people. So what he's saying here is, when that smell covers you, you know what happens? You transfer it. If I have this oil all over me, and remember what we're talking, I'm just using the illustration that David used. When I have that all over me, Fred, if I was covered in oil and I walked up to you and I gave you a big bear hug, guess what you would be? You could be covered in oil. Now, I might not be too happy with me, but guess what? If I replace the oil, that I am walking in a spirit of unity, and I walk up to you and I, you know what? I'm going to rub off on you in a positive way. You know what you're going to think about me? That's my brother. When I walk away, that's my brother. And you know what happens? If somebody talks about my brother, I'm not going to be so quick to go, oh, yeah. I know that, man, that Fred, man, he don't like the Buffalo Bills. He's going straight to hell. Come on, let's have Fred for breakfast. What else is wrong with him? I ask this question of every one of us in this room. When you leave church, what smell are you leaving with? Are you leaving with the oil? Or are you leaving with something different? If you come into church with an expectation that God can flow through me to be a blessing, you know what happens? If he does it, and he does use you, you leave feeling like, oh, man, that felt good. That felt so good. Now, the third part of this is the renewing of our unity. And let's look at the verse where he says, it's like the dew on Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. From what I have been able to read, Mount Hermon is a place where it's high elevation and has snow. And what he's saying here is that the snow produces, when it melts, it brings refreshing waters down into Jerusalem and down into Mount Zion. There are times where we have to have our unity renewed. It speaks of dew. And do you understand that there's no such thing as yesterday's dew? There's no such thing. It has to be renewed every single morning. It has to be something fresh that comes up out of the ground. And sometimes our unity comes into question. Sometimes our unity, we need a renewing of the spirit of unity within us. You know, here's some of the things that I think are so important. Really being able to forgive. You know, if what you just want to do is hold on to an offense, that's going to wreck unity. If you're just coming to critique people's lives, hey, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a single person in here that doesn't need the blood of Jesus to be poured on our life on a daily basis. You hear something about somebody, and instead of it being a source of gossip, man, take it straight to prayer. Oh, Lord, first of all, God, you know, this is why scripture's like, we must all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling are so important. Because if we will take that to heart, that I got to work on my salvation, you know what? That keeps unity. I can't be the Holy Ghost for somebody else, and neither can you. And as soon as the devil gets into a situation and he starts making us feel like we're judge and jury, you know what happens? Unity is broken. And guess what? That's a place that God cannot bless. That's what David is saying here. That's why it's important for us to go to each other and say, hey, you know what? Can we talk? Can we just, you know, break this down a little bit. Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to ask forgiveness? Are you willing to cover each other? You know, I've been in some places that somebody falls, and you know what happens? They become like, like a leopard. The body, they've said, it's been said of the church, the body of Christ is the only army that kills its wounded. Man, when we've got people hurting, the last thing in the world they need is somebody who calls them brother or sister to come over and kick them. Oh, they just need brothers and sisters to surround and love and say, you know what? Come on. One foot in front of the other. God's in control. What can I do? That's something, that's a place that God blesses. That's a place where someone feels safe to open up and allow themselves to be renewed, restored, lifted back up into the place that God has them to be. That's why unity is so important. I'm going to end here. What kind of expectations do you have on people? As the older I get, one of the things that I pray in my life a lot is I don't want to have expectations on people that I can't even live up to myself. You know, if I can't live up to them myself, then who am I to put them on someone else? I'm going to leave you a little example. I love the game of baseball. Baseball, to me, I know some people say, it's just a slow, boring game. To the baseball fan, though, it's not. To the baseball fan, it is. There are so many games within the game, within the game, within the game. One of the games within the game that has always fascinated me is the relationship between catchers and umpires. The catcher and the umpire, at many times, are at odds with each other. The catcher doesn't like the call. The umpire tells the catcher, you need to be quiet, you're chirping too much, you know, get back in there and let's get this game going, stop slowing the game down, you know, all sorts of little interaction. But there is a unity between catchers and umpires, and the unity is this: they are the only two people on the field that see the game from that perspective. And they are the only two people that are that close to the action on every single pitch. And if you've ever seen this in a game, you'll see how that unity interacts. If one or the other takes a foul pitch, now, how many of you guys ever been hit by baseball? To say that it hurts, that's a little bit of an understatement. But now, get hit by a baseball that has been projected off of a bat at a high rate of speed that is only inches away from your body, and it hits you. You know what? That hurts. But this is what interests me about catchers and umpires. Catchers and umpires immediately stop the game. I have watched umpires suddenly become janitors. I've watched them go and sweep home plate, and then they'll go and get another angle and they'll sweep it. They'll kick a little dirt on it. They'll sweep it some more. I've watched catchers throw the ball into the dugout. I've watched go out and start talking to the pitcher. I've watched them get up, start readjusting their equipment, all sorts of things. You know why? Because they're giving the other man the time he needs to regroup so that he can continue the game. And they're doing it in such a way that the man doesn't lose his dignity, that he can still feel like a man. I've watched them, they'll come up to each other and you catch it on camera. You know, they don't come up and say, "Hey, you all right?" They'll lean into each other, "So you ready to start again?" Because they understand that even though there is a they have a natural conflict at times, because they want the strikes called and they want the game called their way. When it comes to the pain, they are the only two people on the field that understand it in that way. And you know what? They got unity and they take care of each other. It's fascinating. That to me is what unity looks like. That we take care of each other. We cover each other. We look out for each other. And here's the promise. Because it's, I was sharing with Sean in Growth Track today. We were talking about the promises of God. And the promises of God always say this: if you do this, I'll do this. Let's get this right. The promise here is, if you have unity, what will he do? I will bless you. That is the place of blessing. And it's something that it's, this is not just about your church life. This is something you need in your home. If husbands and wives in here are having struggles, you know what the struggle is? The struggle is unity. The struggle is maybe you need to humble yourself and forgive. Maybe, you know, instead of holding on to some anger and resentment against your spouse, you need to say, you know what? It's time to let it go. You know, you can have outside conflict that is really causing struggle in your home. And if you're not careful, that outside struggle becomes the whole focus of everything that your attention is on. And you know what? Instead of you keeping unity, which is I love you and you love me and God put us together and we're gonna walk this thing out, you start taking the conflict out on each other. You know what that is? That's the devil. That's the devil, and boy, he loves that one. Unity is something that has to happen in every area of your life. You're raising kids, you better believe the devil's going to try to mess with your unity. How do you keep it? Pray lots of prayer. Do you know that I've had to go to my own children and tell them I'm sorry? There's some fathers, they won't say they're sorry for nothing. Have to look your child in the face and go, you know what? I messed that up. Are you a man enough to humble yourself to your own child? Because you know what happens? You get unity. It may not happen overnight. God may have to work, but eventually, if you've been willing to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and what will he do? I got to stop. I'm longer than I wanted to today. The purposes of God are never circular. He doesn't just bring you around and around. What God wants to do is constantly deepen you. So when we walk in these principles, it's not God just wants to bring you back to what you were. I don't want to go back to what I was. I want to go deeper. Unity is something that will constantly take you deeper. It'll take you deeper in your relationships. It'll take you deeper in your faith. It just takes you deeper. And guess what? It's important. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Can we do something this morning? I'm going to ask everyone who can possibly do this. I want you all to come down and let's stand together. Let's just come on. And then I want you to grab the hand of somebody next to you, wherever you are. Maybe you guys might have to move up a little bit. Maybe you don't even know the name of the person you're standing next to. What I want you to do is I want you to do this. I want you to pray for yourself first. I want you to pray, Lord, renew my spirit of unity. Renew it within my heart. And then what I want you to do is I want you to pray for the person next to you. I want you to pray that God will bless them, that he'll meet every need in their life, that their relationship will grow deeper. You just pray blessings on the person that you're standing next to. Amen. Lord, renew in me, oh God, a fresh unity, spirit of unity, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would renew inside of me, Lord, any places, God, that I've let bitterness or the words sometimes that people have spoken that make me just, you know, really clench up and not want to have that unity. I turn those to you, Lord, and I know I have to daily, God. And this morning, God, I'm ask you, Father, that you would pour out a new spirit of unity. That God, our purpose, Lord, is to be a blessing to each other, Lord. And God, I pray for each and every member. Lord, I pray right now for Priscilla, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless her, Lord. God, that you would pour out your riches on her, Lord. That, Father, the situations that she's concerned about, Lord, and she's been bringing before you, Lord, I pray that even this week she would see some of them resolve, God. God, she took a step of faith, Lord. And Father, it's been an up and down a road, Lord. But God, in her heart, she knew she did what was right. So God, meet every need, God. And Lord, I pray that you would open doors to her, Lord, that she can share the love of Jesus with people, Lord. And God, I pray for the friendships in her life, that they would be strong and mighty, Lord. I pray, God, that she would be an example to everyone around her, Lord, of what the goodness of the Lord looks like. Lord, I pray for her Saturday class, God, that she would, not only would she be a teacher to those kids, Lord, but Lord, she could become a mentor, and that, Lord, relationships would grow, Lord, and people would look back on and say, you remember Miss Priscilla, what she did, and how she was a blessing. I'm in a great place in my life because of that woman and what she taught me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every health issue, every financial issue, God, we bring before you, Lord. And God, we just say, open the windows of heaven above her, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, renew in us, oh God, a fresh spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I want, you know, you don't have to say to the person, but I want you to, in this group today, maybe just look at one person in your heart and just say, you know what? I'm going to tuck that person in my heart this week. I'm going to keep them in my prayers. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to be praying for them. They may not need to know, or maybe you're going to go, maybe it might really feel good for you to go up to that person and say, hey, you're my person this week. You're my person. If you feel like, Zesty, you're my person this week. If you feel like nobody else is praying for you, Pastor Phil's praying for you this week, okay? It's going to be, God's going to do good things. I'm just going to be believing. Amen. Praise God. Just give some love to each other. Love feels good. You know what? And it's better to give than to receive. God bless you. Come on, let's go have a great time together. Amen.